Hey, this is Henry Brigman. Welcome back to Sweet Home PCB. This has been one of those things that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time because, let's face it, we're not exactly in too positive a world these days. There's a lot of stuff out there that really brings you down. The positivity that you find with two of my good friends here are the kind that you need to hear, not just during the holidays, but all year round. My guest co-host, Taylor Williams, Cool to Be Kind Tay, and Setco Services. And we have a new family member here with us from News Channel 7, Mel Zosh, our morning co-anchor with Jessica. And you're enjoying Panama City Beach, I'm sure.
Oh, Henry, I love it here. I love everything about the Panhandle. The people here are so kind, and I don't think I ever want to leave.
We don't want you to leave.
No, we definitely don't.
I'm here to stay.
Good.
Taylor, you've got a lot of stuff that's been going on. Of course, the thing that we decided to do this year is I'm not going to really dwell on the damage that Hurricane Michael had and all the things that happened. I want to talk about some of the positive things that actually came out of that.
Right, because there's a lot.
And you've got a big event coming up.
Yes, I do. October 6th, Friday, it's in Port St. Joe at the Joe Center of the Arts, which is my favorite little art gallery on Reed Avenue down there. It's going to be a fun, free community event, and it is all specifically to celebrate the growth we have seen as a community. Obviously, Bay County, Gulf, Franklin, we were all very affected here. And the big thing I'm speaking about at the event is the fact that we were able to be resilient, rise, rebuild. My favorite quote that I'm talking about during this was the idea of, is it a blessing or was it a tragedy or is it a blessing? Mm-hmm. So we can look at Hurricane Michael as the tragedy that it was, which it absolutely was. And it takes up a lot of negative mental space for people. But I want to try to flip that and have people think about the blessings that did come from it. For instance, my childhood home, it was destroyed, torn to the ground. My mom was able to have a beautiful brand new home put on that same lot. So there's a lot of blessings that come from the tragedy there.
And I know with you just coming back from West Virginia, and you were there WVVA for a long time, 6 years, going from evening anchor to morning. It really fits your personality.
Oh, thank you, Henry. I've always thought that I would be a morning personality at some point in my career. I worked in Montana before coming from the station WVVA in Bluefield, West Virginia. That's our Gray TV sister station to WJHG. But I worked in Montana and the news director there asked me, you know, what do you think's next for you? And I said, I don't know. At some point, I do want to be a morning anchor. She was like, really? Like, that's usually not someone's first choice. They want to work the evenings, Monday through Friday. I've always felt since I've been a broadcast journalist that at some point I would end up on the morning shift. And I'm so happy I did here at WJHG. I love the crew, Jessica and Ryan. They're fantastic. My fiance is the morning producer there. So we are one big family. And I just feel like my personality fits in with that vibe there on the morning crew.
And I know we see that all the time in our business because
we become families.
We really do. It's like, it's not about competition, it's collaboration.
Exactly. There's enough, you know, news stories or real estate to go around. So I feel like when we are kind to each other and we keep that mindset, growth comes from it.
Right. And that's how you become part of the family.
Yes.
Absolutely. And Mel is definitely part of this family.
Yes.
I've become the honorary uncle to half the broadcast journalist in the Panhandle, it seems like, as well as real estate agents. And I appreciate that because we all need to have that person you can go to and talk to. And mentorship is a big thing. And growing up, I know, Mel, you've seen a lot of that and importance of having a mentor.
Oh, absolutely, Henry. Having a mentor is crucial in any career. I know for me in journalism, I had a mentor named Max when I was an intern in Washington, D.C. So I traveled with him to Capitol Hill. At that point, I was with WFED Radio, so Federal News Radio under WTOP Radio. And Max was one of my mentors. He taught me pretty much everything I know about the basics of broadcast journalism, but from the radio standpoint, and going to Capitol Hill and getting the sound bites from those senators. He was one of my big mentors. Sadly, he passed away in 2015. But those mentors and what they teach you it always sticks with you. And even after they're gone, that's how their legacy carries on, is with the next journalist. And then you can carry it forward too. And everything that you learn in your life, you can pay it forward to the next person that needs that mentorship.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the most important thing. You need to have somebody to talk to. You need to have somebody that's going to help push you and guide you and be that support. You know, we all have that with our parents.
Yeah.
You know.
Hopefully.
Yeah. In most cases.
Yeah.
I know my daughter has that with me, because she like going, when I start texting her and giving her ideas and all that stuff, and then I just get a simple okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know it's time for me to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she hasn't given me the letter K yet.
Ooh, I know that's good.
That one's hard.
That one hurts.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's more of an insult these days.
Or a thumbs up. The thumbs up emoji is just like, okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's time to move on, Dad. Go ahead. I've heard that enough over the years between two girls and a boy and all that. We've got that. Of course, all of our kids are like over 30. So it's, you know, I'm past all of that. Thankfully, I'm way past diapers. And I was talking to somebody recently that was looking for, help. It's like, I need to find, you know, ways to make extra money and do this stuff. I want to get into real estate. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's like, yeah. And I have a little baby. And it's like, but diapers are just killing me. It's like, do you remember those days, with your family, friends, where you always, every time you turn around, there was always diapers with nephews, nieces, and all that? I remember the first time I went into debt, it was buying diapers.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
You know,
expensive from what I've heard.
I was not making money at all as a program director of a radio station in South Georgia. You don't make much more now, unfortunately. But these guys, oh man, I had a credit card and I learned a very valuable lesson. It's like, if you got that, you got to pay it off every month or at least within 90 days. Otherwise, you're going to be paying far more than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I did that. I mean, I just... but diapers, that's the one thing that triggers me, is if I see a bag of diapers in the store, I'm thinking, do not get that credit card out.
Mm-hmm. You don't need these.
Well, I especially don't need them now.
Yeah, exactly.
And
tell yourself.
And if I ever need the other ones, hopefully I'm on Medicare or something.
Yeah, those can get paid for.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that, but that all depends.
Yeah, true.
Of course, we're talking to News Channel 7's Mel Zosh as well as Taylor Williams here, talking all about positivity. And that's really something that we need. We're going into October. We've got a lot of things happening. Got the fifth anniversary of Hurricane Michael and what all has happened after then. A lot of positive things have actually happened during that. I know there's a lot of people that still get upset whenever we have tornado warnings or hurricane, any sort of conversation about tropical weather. Not long ago, Chief Meteorologist Chris Smith was on with us talking about hurricanes and talking about kind of the stress that you get with that. And I think each of you have probably seen some of that over the years, no matter what the weather situation is. Absolutely. People get stressed out.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I've seen actual like PTSD type symptoms from people when you get these storms that'll, because we'll have afternoon storms that are wind gusts way up, and it can really shake a room. And if you're not expecting it and it comes out of nowhere, that anxiety can flood your body. And I've seen grown people in a room and get like shaken from a big gust of wind coming through in a storm.
A good friend of mine, former meteorologist here, now teaching at a local high school. I'll let her say her story herself. I know that she went through a lot, because here she was going in college and seeing her neighborhood, not far away from where you grew up, being damaged by Michael. And she really, her love for meteorology got her into it and got on. And she was on TV for a while. Now she's teaching. And she just has such a positive attitude to help people now because of that. So my question for both of you is, what really drove you to really be so positive with your attitudes?
You want to start that one, Taylor?
I can. I feel like I've always had a little bit more of a positive demeanor, but actually doing a deep dive into my own mental health and my feelings recently while writing my keynote speech for my November mental health event, I really dove into, I open up at the event, and this is something I speak about on my platforms, that I've went through suicidal thoughts. So I've been into that level of depression myself. And when you're in that kind of mindset, obviously you feel alone. You feel like there's nothing else out there. I have realized that a kind word, a smile from someone can go an extremely long way. And when I was at that point where I was at my lowest, that's when I started my Facebook group that's called Positive Safe Place. And I started just sharing what I needed to hear every day. I was like, let me just put out these words of encouragement, and just saying the simple of saying I love you to someone and telling them they're valued. A lot of people don't have that support system. And I had so many people reach out to me and say, it made my day. I needed to hear that. I was very low. And I got to where I was like, I can't not do this anymore. And it's just become ingrained in me really since then. I would say my first big push, though, was in high school. A very close friend of mine, he did commit suicide. And he was one of the most happy, funny, energetic, you had no idea. And that really is what has stuck with me. The fact that you have no idea what the person you're sitting with is going through mentally. And if I can sit there and look someone and tell them, hey, you're beautiful and you're loved and you're important, they are going to take that home with them. And even if they don't act like it means anything to them, it can. So that's kind of where I'm come from, is just you can't judge a book by its cover. You never know what someone's going through. And something as much as a little bit of a tighter hug and a, hey, you're cared about, can really change someone's whole demeanor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Taylor, it takes courage for you to share your personal story.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for sharing that, because it could help someone. And what you said really resonates with me, that everyone has a story to tell, that you could be sitting next to someone who maybe they seem happy and they seem uplifted, but they're battling something internally that we know nothing about.
Absolutely.
I think it's so important to make people feel good. So something I think every day is like, let's make everybody feel like a somebody. Mm. So think about that for a minute, whether it's someone who's the CEO of a company, or perhaps they work as cleaners for a company. Like, no matter what someone's job does, that doesn't define who they are. Absolutely. But in our society, sometimes people treat others differently depending on status, like socioeconomic background, you name it. And for me, how I became positive, I was shy as a child. I was really shy. I would answer a question in class if my teacher called upon me. But other than that, I wasn't much of a talker. I was more of a listener. So for me to come out of my shell, it took courage. And it took me signing up for my first journalism class when I was in 9th grade. So I was 14, still shy at that point. But I signed up for my journalism class. I'm from Northeastern Pennsylvania. So that was at Montrose Area Junior Senior High School. The newspaper was the Meteor Chronicle. And for me, it took my mentor, the journalism advisor, Mrs. Sandy Cobb, to say, hey, you've got this. Like, I believe in you. So someone believed in me, and that helped me come out of my shell. Mm. And as I got more mature and more confident, I realized how important making someone smile was, to hear someone's story. I think listening is a skill that that we don't have as much in this society. People are quick to answer. My thought is be slow to jump in. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Mm. So I think if we can just lend an ear to someone, you never know who needs that ear to tell their story, to feel seen. I feel like in this world, a lot of people feel invisible. They feel like there's no one in this world to hear them or to see them. So for me, it was me coming out of my shell in high school and just deciding, you know, I'm going to be a journalist. This is my calling, and I'm going to have courage and make other people feel good. And there's so many ways you can do that. Like Taylor was saying, a smile, a hug, hugging someone more tightly, that can make all the difference in someone's world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that's where we come from. I think we all have gone through situations in which we have seen or experienced suicidal thoughts.
Absolutely.
You know, September, yeah. Suicide Awareness Month. And you've also had that going on. We've had a lot of things during my broadcast career. I did have calls from time to time. We used to always make sure we had the crisis line number standing right by the phone. That way we all knew that was our policy every time. Just this one time, instead of just doing the policy and just kind of doing, hey, you know, you need to call this number, this person needed to be heard.
Yes.
They needed to listen. Mm-hmm. So it was during, of all things, a show called Crying, Loving, or Leaving on WDEN in Macon, a country station. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in and doing that show. And it was a 16-year-old girl from the local Institute for the Blind. They were about to have a dance, and she didn't have a date. She didn't have anybody. She didn't feel like anybody cared mm-hmm. about her. It just so happened that I had a conversation. We talked with another one of my coworkers there, and Todd Wilson, who worked evenings there, just happened to be the DJ at that event. And he made sure that he danced a dance with her.
Love that. So sweet.
And I think it really saved her life. I
say that made a lot of huge impression.
It absolutely did. Difference, because it made them feel that somebody was listening.
Yes.
And that somebody cared.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I know people get a little bit worried about being kind, because you do have that fear of someone taking advantage of it.
Yeah, yes.
True. Yeah.
I mean, we hear all the stories in the news. And,
absolutely.
My wife watches Dateline 24/7. So
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard not to.
Interesting point, though. Especially as women, you don't want to. You're always having that, I'm sure for you as on the news, you know, you're putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. On social media, on whatever, and especially if they know where you're going to be at, you're always a little leery and worried for your own safety. But that's something I've thought a lot about recently. And I was like, it doesn't matter. Got to push through and get the message out there in a lot of the ways. But it is definitely a concern.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people can look at someone who is kind or nice and say, you know, that person's weak, maybe.
Yes.
But I think it takes more strength to consciously be kind and understand others. That takes strength. So I just think, like, kindness can be misinterpreted as weakness.
Absolutely. But really, it's a lot to do with empathy as well.
It is.
And that takes intelligence and emotional intelligence mm-hmm. that people don't realize. I think people are quick to anger, but not quick to grace in any way a lot of times.
Right. And to step back and think about a situation before reacting to it.
And exactly like what you were saying is that a lot of people don't think, they don't listen. Mm-hmm. And so they just say what they're going to mm-hmm. say. And then you don't know how sharp you didn't think that through. Then you don't know how it came across to the other person.
And positive vibes, they are contagious. So are negative ones, though.
Absolutely.
Equally. So positive vibes, I mean, think about it. When you walk into a room and you greet someone and you look at them, Taylor, and you're like, good morning, how are you today? How does that make someone feel? As opposed to someone whose shoulders are slumped and they're just like, good morning. You know what I mean? Like muttering to themselves over like greeting someone, looking at them, making eye contact and saying, how are you?
Yes.
It makes all the difference.
You really can make a lot of difference in somebody's life. And if you haven't thought about being a little bit nicer, you probably should. Let's face it, you can get a whole lot. What was the old saying? You get a lot
more flies with honey.
There you go.
Than vinegar or something like that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've gotten ourselves in a situation in society as a whole is that we're a little too quick to react, and we do tend to get a little bit more, probably a little more R-rated than we need to at times.
Heated. Things
very
get heated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And I feel like people are quick to judge others. Like,
yes.
I think what you were saying about, you know, you don't know someone's story and someone could have a frown on their face and look unapproachable. But sometimes you just have to break the ice and be like, you know, hey, are you okay? You know, you say something to break the ice and then that person's whole demeanor can
change. Absolutely.
Just with a simple, kind word.
Over the years, just in general, whether it was broadcast, real estate, whatever I was doing, when I have that conversation, when I just talk to them. And just say and let them know that it's like, you know, I want to know about you. I want to know what your needs are. I mean, what is it you're talking about? You know, they're not used to that.
No, they're not.
And it's just they start looking at you like, okay, where's the punchline? Where's the hidden print there?
Like
where is
alien.
It?
At?
A lot of people ask, so how are you doing? And then they continue on. Like they don't even, it's a part of our culture to say, hey, how are you? And then, hey, how are you, Henry? Can you get me that thing? And then just continue. Like, they didn't actually ask, how are you? They were saying it and continuing on with what their point is. You have to be intentional with it as well. It's not just like in passing and you're saying it going down the hallway and they didn't actually get to tell you how they were. That doesn't count.
That's a good point. So maybe we can encourage the listeners next time you say, hey, how are you? Pause for a moment
and
let that person answer.
Yes.
And you had to learn that with television, especially doing your interviews, it's real hard. I was on a light rock station forever. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do a lot of interviews. I did some news. I did, you know, some other things where I had to learn to pause after saying things. And that takes a little bit of concentration.
It takes concentration. And I think pauses can be awkward for some. Like, I know in TV, we try not to pause at all because, you know, the show must go on and we want to keep talking. But in conversations, I think pauses can be a good thing. It gives you a couple seconds to think, to process what the person is saying. Mm-hmm. So pauses can be good to slow down and just and think and process what that person said.
That's a great point. We got more coming up. You're listening to Sweet Home PCB.
To buy, sell, or invest in real estate here in the Florida Panhandle, contact me, Henry Brigman, at sellingthepanhandle.com. It's powered by Keller Williams Success Realty. Each office independently owned and operated. Sellingthepanhandle.com. That's sellingthepanhandle.com.
We're back with News Channel 7's Mel Zosh, as well as my guest co-host, Taylor Williams, as we talk about all sorts of things dealing with positivity and some things that we love about our area. Let's face it, Panama City Beach is a great tourist operation, but, you know, we also have a lot of locals that love this place. So, Taylor, why don't we give Mel some advice on some places to make sure that she and her family takes a look at?
Well, we already know that Mel loves the Dublin Winery.
Yeah,
so we know that that's good. I'm going to have to go check that out. I appreciate the recommendation. I don't know. Have you been to the farmers markets? We have multiple farmers markets that I don't think are talked about enough. There's the one in Panama City, downtown, like McKenzie Park. We've got St. Andrews. And then I know on like those are Saturdays. On Sundays, this community of Sweet Bay has a little farmers market. Those are some of my very favorite activities to do, a farmers market.
Are they seasonal or are they year round?
Every Saturday. Oh, yeah, year round. You can always go to those ones.
I love some fresh fruits and
veggies. Too. That's one of my, and you can get like, there's food trucks and all sorts of stuff. And now we're going into the fall season. So like the Lynn Haven's got their concert series coming up. That's free. That's always fun. I like going to the Papa Joe's on the Bayou. That's a free area to go down. They have food trucks set up. You can take your animals too.
Oh,
so they have like fire pits and then you can, it's on the water right after you come over the bridge, but still in Panama City. I think those are really fun areas to go visit. Free
notes.
Fun things to do. If you want to travel a little ways, we know the Chautauqua Winery October 14th day is coming up. We were just talking about that.
Yeah, they're doing a festival and that's free to attend. So I think I'll put that in my calendar for the Harvest Fest.
That's always it. What's your favorite thing to do, Henry? PCB. I'm talking a lot about PC. Okay.
Yes.
Every good restaurant.
Tell me about all the restaurants. I've been to a handful, but I want to hear about more of them.
Well, I tell you, one of the things I really, really enjoy, wonderful Italian food. I always talk about Panarona Pizza and Pasta there on 23rd Street. They're over there behind Chick-fil-A and really great people. I mean, and they all just work so hard and make sure that you're taken care of. They even
do catering too.
Catering, yes, the catering. And really, they can bake you cookies and cakes and all that stuff also that you can order. So if you're ever looking for something, and especially for all you folks who are out there watching football on Saturday and Sunday, you know, they have stuff for you. Oh, man.
Oh, I'm getting hungry.
I know. Me too. I'm like, is it dinner? Have you been to K-Hall's Deli in town?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I just thought about that. That's one of my favorite. They're known for their chicken salad. And that is my, I guess I shouldn't say that, but that's one of my favorite chicken salads in the city by far. And Victoria's Last Bite in Lynn Haven.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
fabulous.
That's a great atmosphere over there.
Oh, I love that place.
And of course, so many coffee houses.
Oh my gosh. I was at Texpresso today. If you've never been to Texpresso.
Literally right behind my studio.
Yes, that's where I was earlier today.
I saw the
It's right here. It's, if you haven't been to Hunt and Gather, that's also a very nice upscale restaurant. They have like one thing they're known for there is bone marrow.
Oh.
That's like one of the best things. Their bone marrow is amazing. But Texpresso's right there. It's right next to Hunt and Gather. And it's in that plaza right here behind the Keller Williams Success Realty. Dollar General's right there. Turtle Girls Marketplace, which is very fun for shopping. That's all indoor vendors.
Oh.
So some are like antique and some are craft and some are just decor. That's really fun.
Oh, yeah. And Jay Michaels over there on Thomas Drive.
That's a good one.
You know, the thing is about that, you expect prices to be kind of higher.
Yeah.
No. They have a daily special in the evenings.
Oh.
I mean, you're talking like $12.99. Then you can get yourself like the smoked pork chop and a couple of veggies. I mean, it's like that. I don't even look at the menu anymore. I just do that.
Yeah.
And they're right around the corner from where I live. So it's like very easy to get to.
I think my favorite seafood, though, is, which is hard to say and also a big statement to make, but Captain's Table in St. Andrews, they've been around a long time and they have probably the best fried snapper and Gulf shrimp. I mean, everyone has good shrimp around here, but oh my gosh, Captain's Table.
Yes.
Starving now.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's one of the things you'll find is that there's something for literally everybody,
yes,
whatever your choice are, whether it's seafood, whether it's Italian, Mexican, soul food, whatever you like is here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's so many choices. And of course, downtown, there's always something fun going on.
Live music somewhere.
Yeah. There's always entertainment here.
I wish we'd bring back First Fridays. That's on downtown Harrison. I keep thinking maybe we will after all that construction's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember First Fridays? They would have Friday nights, food trucks and live music and vendors. And it was like a big farmer's market, but on Friday night.
Oh, that's
once a month, I think. It was awesome.
And if you really want to find out more about the history of the area, History Class Brewing Company, they do a great job. Of course, they've got some good food. They've got their craft beers and all. They've got beers that are specifically made for here based on different characters and people that have come from here.
Which is cool.
Neat.
Yeah. They have a pretzel the size of my head, which is really fun. Very large.
Yeah. I have to see this in person now.
And I think it comes with beer cheese, so you can't go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's and we're getting into, October and Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest is coming up. Yeah. Yes.
You've got that. You've got also at Pier Park, got another version of that and everywhere. But we don't really have too many German restaurants. I'm kind of surprised we don't have that.
No, we used to have Hofbräu at Pier Park, and they closed. So I can't even.
I like Indian food, so I've been over here to
Holy. That's good.
They are
good food.
Their curry is delicious.
I've heard that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm not really into spice, but they really have some good stuff.
Yeah.
That it's just perfect.
Butter chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Butter
chicken.
The spicier, the better for me.
I'm more on Henry's side. I'm like,
well, you would have enjoyed our chili cook-off here at the office last week.
Oh, okay. I don't know how we missed that invite, but we need that invite.
I was busy that day, and then Henry told me about it. I was like, oh, darn. Next time.
The winner was actually the spiciest chili I've ever had in my
life. Really?
Yes, it was very good. Mindy Sato was the agent that brought that in.
I bet that was good.
Great. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, anything Mindy touches is always great. She really went all out on that chili, and it was wonderful. It's really getting into that time of year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it is.
I can't believe it's already that time.
I know.
I was at one of the CPAR's quarterly meeting the other day, and it was the last quarterly meeting, and I was like, what? And so they had pictures of the year's events. Mm-hmm. CPAR's the Central Panhandle Association of Realtors, and I was shocked. I was like, that happened this year? That was in the same year that we're in right now? It's just so much happens. By the time you get to September, October, you're like,
yeah,
surprised, but also it's like,
there's so many great things to do over here.
Yeah.
And when we get to our next part, we're going to talk about some of those favorites, things to do, and let's prepare Mel for some things that are coming up in the next few months that she's got to go to. All right. We got a lot more as we talk in our next episode. We're joined by News Channel 7's Mel Zosh. My co-host is Taylor Williams. I'm Henry Brigman. You're listening to Sweet Home PCB.